This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I thought the Kawhi Leonard, Paul George blockbuster would be the last one of this NBA offseason. But the hits just keep on coming. Wow. We knew that Russell Westbrook might be on the way to a new franchise in the NBA. But to reunite with James Harden in Houston and for Chris Paul to be the sacrificial lamb, oy, I actually was doing some research and thinking about as I was reading that both James Harden and Russell Westbrook were really excited about the chance to play together. And I couldn't help but think as I was reading that and thinking about their emotions that Chris Paul feels like the kid on the playground who used to be among the first guys picked, used to be one of the first kids that would join a team for kickball or anything else, dodgeball. And now all of a sudden, he got replaced by the new kid on the playground. Now, it's a loose analogy, right? Because Russ is not new, but Russ is new to Houston. Rockets fans, you were waiting. You were waiting for the big move. How do you feel about this? Because I got to tell you, I have some reservations. Not because of the two players. I think they want to make it work. But because I still wonder how far does this catapult them? Are they now a team who will compete for the Western Conference Championship and for an NBA title? Is it enough of a difference from Chris Paul to Russell Westbrook that they've increased their standing in the West? As for Oklahoma City, I feel badly for the fans, for the Thunder. They've been so passionate and so excited and even aggressive about trying to win. And they've gone through some rough patches. Injuries, even back when Kevin Durant was still on the roster. Injuries to KD and Russ seemed like they were not available at the same time for, 3 out of 4 years in the playoffs. That run against the Warriors that ended in the 7 games and then KD leaves. Paul George comes in, he commits, then he decides he wants out. And Oklahoma City made a go at it multiple times, just didn't have enough. And sometimes it's not about your franchise as much as it's about everything else that's happening around you. And now, while Sam Presti looks brilliant for the 721 draft picks that he's got over the next couple years, the prospects for this coming season are bleak. And so you're talking about a team that essentially is going full rebuild mode, and there isn't a lot to look forward to, like the Knicks, maybe. I mean, there are other franchises that you could point to. But the passionate fans in Oklahoma City have got to be feeling it. And knowing that this season's, it's going to be difficult to watch. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. I don't know if this is the last blockbuster of the NBA offseason, but I know it's our last show of the work week. We can tell you that with certainty. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What's your reaction to Russ and James Harden pairing up? The latest superstar duo in the NBA. It's funny how trios have become duos now, right? I mean, there are a few trios of superstars. You could still look at Golden State, though Klay Thompson won't be there for most of next year. But Draymond and Klay and Steph are all bona fide all-stars, all bona fide stars. But you don't have many trios in the NBA. Would you call the Nets with DeAndre Jordan? I guess you could say DeAndre Jordan, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving is a trio. Even though KD won't be around next season. So much could change between now and then. But it's become more about duology than it has what used to be the big three. I think the era of the big three is gone. Now it's about playing with your BFF. Everybody pairing up on the basketball court. It's like a high school dance. Everybody pairing up quickly. And CP3 is the one left without a dance partner. Oh, that was smooth, Amy. So smooth. It's a Friday almost. Can you tell? We're hurtling toward the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence from inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We also have the men's semifinals at Wimbledon coming up Friday, which is awesome. I'm really excited about Roger Federer versus Rafael Nadal. First time at Wimbledon in 11 years. 40th career showdown. I will be sleeping at the time that it's airing live, but don't you worry. I have a DVR that works overtime. You know what's on my DVR right now? Pivot. Have you guys seen The Revenant? So, okay, I got to tell you the truth. I love Leo DiCaprio, right? He doesn't even look like himself in that movie. But at the same time, I've heard that it's really gruesome. So it's been, oh, Chris, stop nodding. Could you at least lie to me for a second? It's been on my DVR now for a couple weeks, but I'm almost afraid to watch it because I feel like I'm going to be so grossed out, I won't be able to forget the scenes. My niece has told me about the bear. They said something about a bear eating him or trying to eat him, and that I would be freaked out, but that it was still a good movie. Is it worth suffering through the bear scenes?
It is a fantastic movie. Okay. It is also fantastically gruesome.
Oh no! Is it possible for me to cover my eyes during the really gruesome part?
No, it's really long. It's like several minutes long.
Oh no!
They show every little detail.
Oh, so maybe I should just take the dog out during that part.
Perhaps.
Do I have fair warning? Like the grizzly bear is getting close to him, and I should just know this is the part that I don't want to watch. Does anything else significant happen in the battle with the grizzly that I need to know for the rest of the movie?
Yes.
Oh no! Again, what is with you? First of all, you don't tell me about the bagel guy, and now you can't lie to me about The Revenant. But is it worth it, though, to like potentially have nightmares for, you know, a couple weeks?
That was one of the best movies I've seen in the last like five years. Yeah, it's great.
Dave, are you giving it two thumbs up as well?
Yeah, I know you're not going to like this answer, but you got to watch it.
I have to watch the grizzly bear scene?
You got
to
watch the whole,
What if I kind of peek through some, you know how you can peek through cracks in your fingers and it doesn't look quite as gruesome or as clear? What if I do that?
If that helps you sleep at night,
I guess. It might. I mean.
It's a good movie, though.
Maybe I should watch it in broad daylight and not in the middle of the night before I go to bed.
That will definitely help.
Okay, good. All right, there's the idea right there. Also, I have a question, and you guys can think about this and then answer, but I'm going to a cookout on Saturday, and I'm wondering how long is sufficient enough to hang out at a cookout. Because this cookout invitation seems as though it's for all day, and Amy Lawrence cannot hang out at barbecue all day. I can't do it. First of all, it's too friggin' hot. And second of all, I mean, I get antsy. So anyway, there's a question for you listeners. How long is long enough to hang out at the neighborhood barbecue? And feel like you fulfilled your duty. All right, it's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks again for finding us on social media always. You keep us hopping. Plus, our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. All of that started because I was talking about my DVR. I will, in fact, have the DVR going for Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. And then coming up on Saturday, we've got the women's final with, once again, Serena Williams staring down history. Here she is in her third Grand Slam final in the last year. She hasn't been able to win number 24. She's stuck. I'm using my air quotations. Shouldn't we all be so stuck on 23 Grand Slam singles titles? But this is her 11th Wimbledon final. It's the first for Simona Halep. And so you've got Two players coming from the opposite end of the spectrum. However, Simona Halep did win the French Open in 2018. She was recently in the Australian Open final. And so she's got some experience. Just, I mean, there isn't anyone in tennis who has the experience that Serena does on the women's side. And so, as always, and we've seen this with Serena more recently in her career, the biggest challenge for her is controlling her emotions out there on the court.
Feel like I play better when I'm calm, but it's definitely an effort. You're not getting over pumped, but at the same time not getting underwhelmed. So I have to just be in that right space.
It's certainly something that can serve her well, those emotions, and we know that with a lot of athletes, right? You control your emotions, you don't allow them to control you. And maybe that process of going back and apologizing to Naomi Osaka will matter now, not quite a year later, but she said she had no peace. She really struggled with it, but she took care of it. She's worked it out. She's apologized for her outburst, for the way that she really stole the moment from Naomi. So that peace, that calm, that being centered could really help. As for Simona Halep, and pretty much for everybody who faces Serena Williams, or Venus Williams for that matter, in women's tennis these days, Halep admits that Serena is one of her inspirations.
She was one of them, because seeing a player that is able to win so many Grand Slams also here on the grass means a lot for everyone, for us.
And so you've got Serena Williams, queen of Wimbledon, against Simona Halep, who is 1-9 against Serena all time in her career. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, it was a blockbuster deal that we found out about mere hours ago. Russell Westbrook is headed to the Houston Rockets. How do you guys like the duo in the backcourt, no less, of James Harden and Russell Westbrook? I don't know that Westbrook will be able to average a triple-double for a fourth consecutive season. And the usage is kind of interesting, right? The usage of these two players, there's not enough shots to go around in a game if they both continue with the usage rates at which they've been accustomed the last couple seasons. However, there is a new defensive component to the backcourt now with Russ. So we'll let you hear from some of the voices that be inside the NBA, as well as baseball. It's already restarted. That was a quick All-Star break, like super quick. We've got one game under our belts. Everything else back in droves coming up on Friday, because you know it's Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
At the foul line, kicks to Westbrook. Pump fake, fires the lean and angle right three-pointer. Get it! Cha-ching and Thunder Bunny Ball! Those are finishing touches, baby, in game three. 119 left, under 118. The Blazers 104. Russell Westbrook's come up with a mammoth third game performance, 33 points.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Matt Pinto on the Thunder Radio Network. But moving forward, it'll be Craig Ackerman on the Rockets Radio Network and company who has the calls for Russell Westbrook and the triple doubles that he'll produce, the thunderous dunks, the three-pointers, the big-time defensive plays. He is 30 years old. James Harden will be 30 years old in roughly a month, but sometime this summer. And reportedly both were enthusiastic about teaming up again, much later in their careers. But teaming up again, I don't know that we can read into that. Does that reinforce the idea that CP3 and James Harden were on the outs and that they really didn't want to play together anymore? I guess you could say that, but that's not specifically what the report indicated. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You got to give credit to Sam Presti. OKC has picked up a haul of draft picks, two more protected first-round picks in this deal with CP3 and also two pick swaps. And the Rockets divest themselves of a 34-year-old Chris Paul, who may very well end up moved again. Gosh, it's this weird domino effect, right? So Russ loses his running mate when Paul George asks for a trade. So then he gets traded. He kind of bumps Chris Paul out of Houston. It's a younger model. James Harden traded in for a younger model. And now it's CP3 that could end up getting traded. And I don't know if he'll bump some other point guard. I wouldn't say he is a top 10 point guard anymore, but he still has a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom. The problem is he also has a fat contract, not just PHAT, but FAT. So the reaction of Kenny Smith on NBA TV, he was asked about this backcourt of the Houston Rockets featuring James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
Oh, they're the best backcourt in basketball. I mean, you know, defensively, I don't know two guards who could say, well, we have an advantage where we could stop them. And, you know, that's what Houston has been in the last years, is an offensive juggernaut. But the difference is, I think Russ probably could point to half of the league or more and say, well, I can guard him. You know, where I think in the past in Houston, I don't think guys could say, well, I could outscore you and stop you.
I like that. I like the factor that the defense will be better in that backcourt. Because let's face it, Chris Paul, while he worked hard, I think he cared about defense more than a Harden. He also is a step slower. I mean, at 34 years old, he relies on his smarts. He relies on his court vision, certainly the wisdom, the experience. But there are a lot of quick step, younger, explosive guards who could take him off the dribble, to be sure. So that's one opinion. How about former NBA general manager Ryan McDonough, who joined SiriusXM NBA Radio, about the fit with the Rockets?
They played together in Oklahoma City and went to the finals in 2012 before Sam Presti made the controversial decision to trade James Harden to the Houston Rockets that offseason, coming off the heels of a finals appearance. I don't love the fit on paper, and here's why. As you know, Oklahoma City, they play with one isolation player. Usually that's James Harden, or it can be Chris Paul. Now it'll be Russell Westbrook. And they spot up four shooters around the perimeter. They hold two corners, and there's a lot of dribble penetration and spot up three-point shooting. And as you know, Frank, that's not Russell Westbrook's game. He's not a great three-point shooter. I think it works well with the ball in Westbrook's hands, like when he's the pick-and-roll player, the guy attacking in isolation situations. But I'm not sure how well it works when the ball is in James Harden's hands, which, as you know, Frank, over the last 2 years, Harden has been historically good at that and finished first and second in the MVP voting over that time.
Frank Isola, along with former NBA general manager Ryan McDonough on Sirius NBA Radio. So there are certainly some question marks. I've told you this before. The Rockets' offense makes me want to bang my head against a wall a lot. I like the fact that they've maintained their defensive presence, specifically in the lane. And I do believe that Russ adds to that. So their defense, which came on late last year, despite their early exit again in the playoffs, it looked better toward the end of the season after they got healthy. But still, there were weaknesses. Russell Westbrook addresses those. But just this idea that they're two of the highest usage guards, will it give their offense another dimension? Will there be friction about who handles the ball when? Remember when Mike D'Antoni took over as the head coach of the Rockets, one big change that he made was to put the ball in James Harden's hands almost all of the time. In fact, James Harden is who LeBron James wants to be. Oh my gosh. Russ at point guard, LeBron at point guard. I could sign up for a couple of those matchups just to see how LeBron does guarding Russ for a few games. You're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What's your reaction? Already the photos are out there. They're photoshopped. Unless Russ is already proudly sporting his Houston Rockets uniform. All right, let's see. Mark says on Twitter, good for both teams. Russ will now be surrounded by shooters, which he's needed his entire career that he never had. Houston breaks up Paul and Harden if they had issues. Houston jumps to a 3-4 seed. OKC wins big time with draft picks and cap space relief. Hashtag Thunder. Houston was a 1 seed 2 years ago, and it really didn't make a difference, but I get what you're saying. Also, you guys listen to this tweet. I don't know how I feel about this. The Revenant has the most terrifyingly realistic grizzly bear attack in movie history. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Imagine Lewis and Clark running into grizzlies that had no fear of man. Also, he capitalizes grizzlies like we're talking about the Memphis Grizzlies. You guys, maybe I shouldn't watch alone. Maybe after leaving the cookout, after a sufficient amount of time, I could invite people back to my house and say, hey, let's watch The Revenant. Okay. It was Dr. Tony, who's in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. Whatever you have to go through, The Revenant is worth it. I've got to say that right off the bat.
I could be scared to death, though.
It won't scare you to death. I guarantee you that.
Oh, no. Okay.
You'll still have a voice to talk on the radio. It'll be worth it.
Okay.
I like where you're going with Westbrook improving Houston's defense, but I don't. My concern for Houston is that with two alpha males as far as ball control goes, like you said, D'Antoni gives the ball to Harden 98,000% of the time. And here you bring in another person that wants another 98,000%. I'm not sure how that's going to work. But at the same time, I'm really excited to see OKC in about 6 years or maybe 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, like starting next season, so not 1920, but 2021, they're going to be like the Atlanta Hawks with a roster, a starting five that averages like 21 years old. They're going to be really young.
Just like watching the old Fab Five at Michigan.
Yeah, except when you're playing against men who have a lot of experience, sometimes you'll get whitewashed. However, if they grow up together, and certainly with the way the rookie contracts are, you would think that OKC, you know, could have them under contract for 4 years, maybe 5 years. Certainly they could get a lot accomplished and kind of grow together as a unit, which you don't very often get that luxury, and that reminds me of the Warriors, right? I mean, they've drafted this core of Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and these guys have grown up together. They've become not only tight on the court but off the court, and they don't want to play anywhere else. You know, they want to play together, so those bonds are really tight.
Absolutely. Look at what that continuity did for them, and oh, who knows? Maybe it'll work in Houston.
That's true. It definitely could. I mean, they know each other at least. So it's not like you're bringing in someone completely foreign, but neither one of their games was in the same place when they were together in OKC. And so that's the part that it's hard to gauge. Yes, you can say they played together at the Thunder, and so this is a reunion, but they were both really early in their careers, and neither one of them had gotten to the point at which they could dominate a game like they can now.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great morning.
Thanks, Tony. Have a good weekend in Dallas. I'm thinking of those of you who are in New Orleans or on the coast of Louisiana. As I was driving into work, I was listening to the news, and normally this time of the year, the Mississippi River is roughly at 6 to 8 feet, but it's expected to rise to 19 feet with this. Well, right now it's a tropical storm, unless it's been upgraded in the last hour or so, but it's supposed to be a hurricane, hurricane category one when it comes ashore. Hurricane Gary. And so a lot of rain, lots of rain on the way there, and potentially damaging winds and other elements of that storm. And so my mom was just on vacation in that area a couple of weeks ago, and she was glad she missed it, but she's also thinking about the workers and some of the people who live in the lower grounds. And so be careful with that storm approaching. All right. You can find us on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What is the best duo in the NBA now? I mean, there's some real good twosomes who can do a lot of damage. And it also means that the NBA looks wide open next season. 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hole for three. Good! Back-to-back threes for the Rockets. One by Harden, that one by Chris Paul. The Rockets have re-wrestled control of this game back from the Warriors. Once again, they're up 11.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Craig Ackerman on the Rockets Radio Network. CP3's career has taken another really interesting turn. Not sure if you saw the Dwayne Wade tweet in the wake of the trade. You know, he's part of that banana boat crew. D-Wade, Chris Paul, it was Melo, and it was LeBron, right, on the banana boat. So he tweets, "I got so much to say, of course, on this CP3 trade, but I'll save my comments until I talk to my brother." But he's got a facepalm. So he's participating in hashtag facepalm Friday. Now, he doesn't mention Russ. Clearly, this is about his friend, CP3, and he's not as much concerned about Russ. He's concerned about Chris Paul. So he is now in Oklahoma City, but what happens from this point moving forward? We've got our duo in Houston, in which James Harden gets to swap out a younger model. Where does that leave Chris Paul? Now, we did hear that the Miami Heat are still interested. They want a point guard, and Chris Paul appears to be the odd man out in this weird game of musical chairs. Also, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, Westbrook actually he went to the team once they found out that Paul George was not going to be with them moving forward. They were asking him about his feelings regarding a trade, his willingness to move on. And it was certainly with reluctance on both parts. But apparently, the Rockets are a team that he fingered as one that he'd like to go play for. Again, we had heard about the Miami Heat, not so much about Houston. Now the Heat are reportedly interested in getting Chris Paul to fill that role. And Sam Presti is already working with Chris Paul's agents to figure out where he will play next. 9-time All-Star. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. I always use the phrase, life comes at you fast. Isn't that from some insurance company? It's a slogan from an insurance company. Life comes at you fast. I don't remember which one. Anyway, it seems to me that it fits perfectly with sports, because one day you can be on top of the world and the next day you can be on the bottom of someone's shoe as a piece of gum. Similar to some days you're the windshield, some days you're the bug, except that it can happen extremely quickly that you go from being windshield to bug. So Chris Paul joined the Rockets before the 17-18 season, and this was supposed to be some incredible matchup with James Harden, and let's be honest, it was productive. His first season with the Rockets, he averaged nearly 19 points per game to go along with 8 assists. This past season, 15.5 points per game and 8 assists. So it's not as though this guy has fallen off the map. Now, he only played in 58 games each the last 2 years, so he has had more injury problems. In fact, he hasn't played more than 70 games in a season going back now the last 3 years. But I do remember, this actually sticks in my mind, the year that he played all 82 regular season games, that was 14-15, and he was so proud of it. He said it was one of the proudest accomplishments of his NBA career. But now here is this pivot, right? He was with New Orleans for all those years after getting drafted, even survived a logo and mascot change. Then he went to the Clippers in that trade after he was not going to the Lakers. And then these last two seasons in Houston. As for Russ, I happen to see this on Twitter. There was apparently a comedy show in Tulsa with Westbrook's name on it tonight. At the Russell Westbrook and Layups to Stand Up, Why Not? Pop-up comedy show. That's quite a long title. In Tulsa, Russ was apparently on stage both at the beginning of the show and the end, but he did not talk about the trade. He did get a huge standing ovation from the crowd, and he did acknowledge, but he did not say anything at all about the trade. So he was busy with a charity project, but not so busy that he couldn't say yes when his agent called him. Is this okay with you? Yes. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see. Here's one tweet. Raw deal for Chris Paul. Yeah, I mean, 4 years can make such a difference in the NBA. And by 4 years, I don't mean 4 years of his career. I mean 4 years of his life. He's 4 years older than Russell Westbrook, but that's apparently a big draw for the Rockets, is they feel like they could swap out a guy who's still a little more explosive, a little more spring in his step, a little more athletic, a little quicker, can be a more effective defender at this point in his career. And so Chris Paul's now the odd man out. Tim says, there's only one basketball at a time, right? unless they change something, that would be drastic. And then Derek says on Twitter, the Western Conference will be must-see every night. This is a great trade for Houston. Yeah, it's kind of nuts, though, to think about, especially the backcourt and the backcourt duos. And we've known this about the West, that they're backcourt heavy for quite a while. But to think about the matchups we'll see, just the duos. I mean, is there a team out there in the Western Conference that next season you can be blasé about? Maybe the Thunder, depending on what happens with CP3. But, you know, I mean, by himself, he's not going to be a huge draw. But the Warriors right now still have D'Angelo Russell and Steph Curry. The Clippers made the move to get Kawhi and Paul George. So not backcourt guys, but they'll handle the ball a lot. The Lakers, of course, have Anthony Davis and their new point guard, LeBron James. The Rockets, we know what they just did. The Grizzlies are definitely a team that's in transition, but they picked up Ja Morant, and so he's going to be a guy that people are going to have a lot of eyeballs on. It's interesting to think about the various backcourts. Obviously, with Portland, CJ McCollum, and Damian Lillard. I mean, the Utah Jazz, they've added Mike Conley to the stable. Heavens. there's a lot to think about, a lot to digest with this musical chairs. And most of it, as usual, affects the West. I mean, that's where the drama is these days. We talked about the Sacramento Kings a lot at the end of last season, for sure, because they were making a bit of a push to get to the playoffs. Now, they went through this run where they couldn't quite get those big names that they needed, right? They couldn't quite topple a couple of teams in close and late situations that they really needed. But I believe they're going to be a team to watch. How about De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, those two guys in the backcourt? And I'm, of course, not naming everybody, but I mean, they also have a bunch of guys that are worth paying attention to. We have to wait a long time for games, though, so feels like the NBA hasn't gone away. It doesn't. It doesn't go away. It's like the NFL now. Here we are about to start training camps. I got to deliver the zing at dinner tonight. I was hanging out with some friends, and they were asking me, how's the week going, and what are you talking about? And I mentioned that on last night's show, we had done NFL burning questions, which, my gosh, by the way, I checked our Facebook page at some point on Thursday afternoon, and you had doubled the number of comments of your NFL burning questions, which I do appreciate. Maybe we'll go back and review some of those. But they were stunned to hear that training camp start in a week, essentially, next week. So, nutso. But yeah, I mean, it was like we just got to the point where we kind of missed football. I mean, I'll speak for me. I kind of missed it. I felt like we hadn't talked about it in a while. And now, hello, it's right there on the horizon. And because training camp is close, that means you've got reports of holdouts at training camp that are also popping up. Melvin Gordon is prepared to sit out training camp, potentially pull a Le'Veon Bell if he does not get a new deal or get traded. His agent, Fletcher Smith, was a guest on Sirius XM NFL Radio.
Oh, he's prepared to sit, and you know, we'll take it day by day, week by week, and see how things go. But at this time, if he can't get anything done, he certainly won't be in training camp, and he's prepared to sit as long as he has to.
So that's Fletcher Smith laying out his client's stance, putting his foot down. He's told the Chargers, unless he receives a new contract, he will not report to training camp, and he will demand a trade. It's interesting, we just spent all this time talking about the Chargers on last night's show because they were still challenging for the AFC West title in the final weeks of the regular season. They won a playoff game. The future appears to be bright. Phillip Rivers is playing great. They've got some stars on defense. Melvin Gordon, not having Melvin Gordon, that could change the outlook a little bit. Now, Fletcher Smith said publicly that Gordon did not want to go this route. I just rolled my eyes. But because there's been no progress in negotiations, and because the Chargers have not upped the offer they made him this offseason, now Gordon feels the need to voice his displeasure. Okay. This whole thing about fulfilling your contract. Now, in the NFL, it's a little different because contracts aren't guaranteed. But it blows me away because you're potentially saying, I'll skip a year in the prime of my career. So Fletcher Smith, again, on Sirius XM.
You know, for those teams that have a running back, but they're not, you know, maybe he's not the back that they need. Maybe you trade a player and a pick. Right now, I don't know because, again, we've not been empowered to talk to other teams to discuss trade. But all you need is one trade partner. It can't be traded to all 32 teams. And if you have a creative team that is close enough to win it and feel that they want to step out there and take a chance, I think, you know, if they want him, it can be done.
Gordon's still in the prime of his career. He's only 26 years old, but he's going into the last year of his contract. And has decided doesn't want to get to a situation where he could be looking at the end of the deal. And think about it, the other running backs, the other guys at his position, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, yes, Le'Veon Bell, recently cashed in and gotten new deals, and he wants to be next up, next man up. Isn't that the hashtag in the NFL, next man up? Dustin says on Twitter, Steve Adams is the real loser in this Houston OKC trade. I hope one way or another he ends up back with Westbrook in Houston. Those two have such good chemistry. 1 hour down. Thanks for tuning in. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.